So we're still in this sermon series on the Holy Spirit. This probably is the last one, but, you know, who knows? We'll see where everything goes, right? It's just like worship. Are we going to the chorus or the bridge? You know, are we making up something or sticking with what's on the paper? I have no idea. But here's where we are. And our main text for today is about the fruit of the Spirit, which if you've been following Jesus for any amount of time, if you've been reading scripture, one scripture ought to jump to the top of your brain. It's Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. And this is how it reads. You can read along with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such there is no law. This is the word of the Lord. The people said, thanks be to God. Let this word fill our minds, flow from our hearts, and free our mouths to preach, speak, live the beloved children of God. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I sat down with a nutritionist. Anybody got a nutritionist? It's like the going trend. Only two people. The rest of you are going to get one on Instagram right now because I said it. Your social media is going to be blowing up with nutrition information. Okay? You're welcome. So I sat down with a nutritionist, and on the outside, you know, I look healthy, 48, about to be 49 next month. I stay active. I try to eat decent food when I'm not with Shala. When I'm with Shala, she's got all the decent food, right? She makes everything wonderful. And on the outside, I don't have any major symptoms, not the kind that anybody would notice, but underneath, blood work suggests that I do have high cholesterol. It's kind of high. And I have this family history of heart disease. And I'm also dealing with this sciatica pain, you know, on the side. And I'm like, man, you know, I'm looking at other people like, yo, they should have all this stuff, not me. So my nutritionist, you know, raised this question, could what I am eating not only impact my energy and weight, but actually begin to heal the underlying issues? So sometimes we look at it as just the external stuff, right? But she's asking the question like, but what if it could heal the underlying issues, not just the issues you see on top, like some of this other stuff? And, you know, it is not brain sound like new information, like, duh, yeah, food is fuel, right? And I left that appointment thinking about something, though, that we all believe, even spiritually, that freedom means you can have whatever you want. Right? Like if you look good on the outside, you're taking care of things in a nutritional way, freedom means you can eat whatever you want. And technically, you can. You've got that freedom in your nutritional value, parent. You can have whatever you want, but it doesn't mean it's not going to cost you. And then as you get older, there are different things you need to do for your body that didn't work when you was 20. I'm trying to help you 20-somethings. Huh? You got the high metabolism now. You can eat Taco Bell at 11 o'clock at night if you want to. I ain't calling no names, Carter Wesley Johnson. I'm just saying. The same is true for us spiritually, Aaron, that we are what we eat. Or even better, we become what we consume. You are what you eat and you become what you consume, not just physically, but also spiritually. Not just physically, but also spiritually. And this spiritual fruit that Paul mentions in Galatians 5 is not artificial flavoring. It's not synthetic virtue. It looks good, but it needs to reflect your inner life. The real transformation in this spiritual fruit is not earned by effort, beloved, but it is cultivated by surrender. We want this fruit. We want this kind of health spiritually in our lives. And we need to recognize and understand first and foremost that we are what we eat or we become what we consume. Here's the truth of the matter. We look fine outwardly, spiritually. You attend in church? Check. You saying the right things? Check, check. You listen to the sermons and take notes of Pastor Rich? Check, 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 check. But inside, you're carrying inflammation of the soul. You know, physically, this inflammation thing affects a whole lot of our body's performance. That the food you eat could be causing the inflammation. And it's like, it's not that bad. But that inflammation is causing this stress on vital organs in your body. And this is spiritually happening to us as well. Beloved, you can't eat whatever you want spiritually and not have a consequence from that. You cannot do whatever you want spiritually or physically for that matter and not bear any kind of consequence. In God's kingdom, when Jesus speaks about freedom, it is about the power to be made whole or to be integrated in your whole life. That there's no dividing parts of your life, that is all integrated, and it mirrors the life and spirit of Jesus Christ. So the question becomes, what kind of person are you becoming? What kind of person are you becoming? And are you feeding that formation? Here's the main idea, real simple. The Spirit of God grows the character of Christ in us. The Spirit of God grows the character of Christ in us. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit as the counselor, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit as the discerner, the Holy Spirit as the healer, the gift giver. The Holy Spirit is also present in our lives so that we would grow to look, feel, and sound more like Jesus. And the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of God's transforming presence. And I can't think of another time, perhaps, you know, just this is my lifetime, it's only 48 years old, but in my 48-year-old lifetime, where this becomes like so critical for us as followers of Jesus. Do you look like and sound like Jesus? Because if you say you do, but you're doing different, I'm questioning, I'm curious, I'm doubtful of the kind of Jesus that you have adopted. What kind of Jesus have you adopted? Oh, I gave my life to Jesus. Yeah, there was a whole lot of people named Jesus back then. Which one? Was it the Jesus of Nazareth? Or was it the Jesus of, you know, Backstreet? Like, which one? Which Jesus were you following? I need to know right now. A whole lot of Jesus is out there, but I need to know, are you following the Jesus Christ, Son of God? Now, as we walk with Paul, you know, we could spend a whole entire sermon series just on Galatians 5, right? 5, 22 through 23. We could break down each one. We're not going to do that today because we'd be here for a very long time. So don't say amen. That was the wrong place to say amen. So you just whenever the pastor pauses, just say amen. You don't say amen at every pause. Amen. Yes. All right. The context that Paul is speaking in is the idea of competing diets. And he frames this conversation with the tension that there are works of the flesh on one side and there is fruit of the Spirit on the other side. And these works of the Spirit are the good stuff and the works of the flesh are the equivalent of junk food, processed food. Foods with added sugars, like it don't feel like it, but when you added sugar to it, momentarily satisfying, but deeply damaging, right? Here's what he says in Galatians 5, verse 16, that comes right before 22. He said, I'm saying to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. And these are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. I paused. There was an amen. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious to some, not to everybody. Sexual immorality. Impurity and debauchery. Don't even use that word much. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. He does not run out of ink. Dissensions, factions, envy. I ain't done. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Just in case I didn't say it. In case I missed something, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is one of those passages where we would rather skip over. Well, this is too much here. I just want to lean on the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. The word flesh in Greek is sarx, S-A-R-X, and it refers not simply to our physical bodies. It's not just talking about this, you know, that you can pull and poke, but it is the self-oriented life. It's the inner life that resists the Spirit of God. So when you see that word flesh, he's speaking about your inner life that is resistance to the move and the presence of God. And throughout Galatians, Paul is responding to a false teaching that you can do with your body whatever you want to do, and it will not affect your spirit. Your spirit is divine and holy. Your flesh is perishable and unholy. And so because of that, they are separate from one another. The false teaching was called dualism. And we actually kind of still follow into this dualistic thinking today. When we fall so heavily on the grace and mercy of God, when we allow and justify indulgences under the banner of spiritual freedom, I'm free. Hell lost another one, and I am free. I can do whatever I want in the name of Jesus, because he's going to forgive me tomorrow. I am free. Hey. There is all kinds of, you know, ideas out there that are contrary to what we read about in Scripture. But there is also ideas out in the world that affirm what Scripture has already taught, that our physical and spiritual lives are deeply interconnected. Anybody ever heard of the book, The Body Keeps the Score, right? That's because they are understanding that what happens to your body registers in your brain and it affects your spirit, your soul. They are interconnected. They are integrated, even if we are not aware of their deep integration. And so the practices of indulgences, of comparison or rage, they don't just stay isolated from our spirits. They become habitual. They become a part of our being. Neuroscientist Dr. Caroline Leaf writes, thoughts are real, physical things that occupy mental real estate. You ever had a thought that you ain't had in forever? And it's like, that is taking up way too much brain space. How in the world? And she said, what we think about grows. It becomes a part of us. And the list that Paul goes through, it names behaviors, again, that we would rather like skip over. Like that is, nah, that's what the controlling church wants to name. Sexual immorality. No, I'm free. Hatred, discord. I'm free. Jealousy, not that big of a deal. Rage, selfish ambitions, factions, and more. Paul, when he says, and the like, again, is to say, this is not an exhaustive list, beloved. Well, what I'm doing ain't on his list, so I am free. He didn't name the one that I am doing. I am free. I am, whoa, ho! No, it's a window into what the Galatian church was dealing with and what they were wrestling with, honestly, and how to handle their freedom. I mean, this new life in Christ thing was new. They had been dealing with the law before. And when they heard that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law, that they were no longer living under the law, they felt like, okay, the yoke of the law is off of our neck. The burden of trying to keep rules and regulations is off of our backs. These Pharisees ain't got no power over us anymore. We are free. And Paul is trying to encourage them in how to use their freedom, because what you do with your body does impact your spirit. Just like poor nutrition leads to inflammation, just like poor nutrition leads to stress and disease, and feeding the flesh leads to relational breakdown, emotional instability, and spiritual fatigue. When we give in to the flesh, that is that thing that doesn't want to follow Jesus, it promises satisfaction that it cannot deliver. It promises a satisfaction that leaves us disintegrated or disintegrated. It separates us. In short, the freedom to eat what we want does not protect me from the consequences of what I have consumed. I got to read all of the stuff on the back of products, you know, now. It's like, it's not even worth reading. It's just like, is it in a bag? I'm just not even going to read it at all, because it's probably, you probably snuck something in there I can't even deal with. Paul has a
sharp contrast is why so many people have a problem with Paul. He's too harsh. You're too hard. Where's the grace? Read all of Paul. Grace is there. Mercy is there, even in this passage. But he wants us to understand the reality of what we're dealing with in this world, that the works of the flesh are destructive and the fruit of the Spirit is life-giving. And you don't just drift into health. You don't just drift there. Oh, yeah, I'm 48 now. I don't just drift into it. There are different things I have to do with my body as I grow mature. And so when he lists these fruit of the Spirit, these are the pastoral shepherding moments where he paints the picture of a Spirit-formed life that looks like health. And fruit is singular. I know you probably grew up in church and it was all like different fruits. When they talked about the fruit of the Spirit, love was an apple and, you know, joy was an orange and you had bananas and melons and they ran out of fruit and they just threw some asparagus on there. It's like, I don't know how that got in there, but they did. It is all one fruit to represent coming from one Spirit that has 9 different character traits to form one cohesive expression of who Christ looks like in our lives. And I like to group them by 3 themes. The first theme is that this is fruit that nourishes our life with God. Love, joy, and peace. These reflect the inward posture of a person who is deeply connected to God, like having those essential nutrients for the heart and for the soul. This is where my nutritionist says you need to increase your protein, Rich. You got to increase. This is the good stuff. You need to increase your protein. I say, how about coffee? Is that a protein? Because I can drink like a pot of coffee a day. That works for me. Is it? No, actually, that's actually killing your craving for the good stuff when you drink all that coffee. If you could limit it down to 1, that would be fantastic. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. No, I'm just. Fruit that nourishes our life with God. Love is the foundation of all virtues. All virtues come down to love. Why? Because God is love. At the lowest common denomination is God is love. And it ought to be the reflection of who we are to God. This loving union that God desires for us. Secondly, joy. It is the gladness that is rooted in God's presence, not in our circumstances. Let me say that again. It is the rootedness in God's presence, not in our circumstances. Your circumstances will change from minute to minute. You woke up and you already having a good day, and before you get out the door, something happened. And you wasn't even planning on it. And it shifts and it takes you away from joy, which means you actually didn't have joy. You had happiness that was contingent on the circumstance. Joy is not contingent or dependent on the circumstance that you are in. And then thirdly, peace. Peace is that calm confidence in God's control, even in the storms. It is the peace that you have, that God is with you, again, despite what the circumstances are, the things that are beyond your control. And we are in a time, and we've always been in a time where we've been beyond our control. But no, man, we feel this now, right? This is soul level health, though, and it's not performative. It's rooted in the presence of God. The second group or theme is fruit that nourishes our relationships. So the first group was upward. The second group is outward. It nourishes our relationships. These are traits that strengthen and purify how we interact with others. These are the good fiber. Rich, you need good fiber in your diet. You need them antioxidants in your diet to clear out the toxins in your physical health. And spiritually, we need it to clear out things like bitterness, unforgiveness, and pride. Bitterness, unforgiveness, and pride. That's that work of the flesh. Work of the Spirit is patience, kindness, and goodness that you can have with other people. Patience is the strength to endure and to extend grace. Shal and I just celebrated 24 years of marriage, and she's been patient with me every step of the way. A pastor who married us asked, like, you know, what name do you call, you know, Shala? And can I say it out loud? Okay, so my nickname for Shala is Pearl. I think it's Pearl. Isn't that sweet? Some of y'all just heard that for the first time, Pearl. And it's not just because she light skin and shine is so bright. It is because she is precious.
She is precious.
So the pastor said, well, you know how pearls are made, right? You know how pearls are made? Under pressure, under tension. So you got a pearl, but brother, we might be hard to work with.
She's been patient with me. And patience is probably one of the most profound things that we need in our relationships with one another. But we also need kindness, compassion, and action. Ones that seeks the goodness for others. And goodness, that third one in this theme, is the integrity in choosing what is right, even when it's costly. In our relationships, that we choose goodness even when it's costly. This is particularly for those folks who are people-driven, right? The folks who are people-oriented, and it's hard to say no. Even the good thing you can do is to say no, because it's costing you something inwardly. And the healthiest relationships, beloved, they aren't even built on compatibility as much as they are a spiritually formed character. Compatibility is a part, but it is not the total part. We also need spiritual form character. And the third theme is inward. So we were upward in our relationship with God in the first three, outward in the second three, and in the third three, we are inward. This is fruit that nourishes our inner being. These help to sustain us emotionally, spiritually, like staying hydrated and resting. So my nutritionist says, how much water do you drink? And she says, that ain't enough. Especially if you're working out, you need to take in more water. And if you're drinking all that coffee, you need to take even more water. You need to drink 12 ounces of water for every one cup of coffee, in addition to all the other water you need to take. And also, by the way, you need to sleep. You mean 5 hours ain't enough? Where are my 10-hour of sleep people? Lazy, lazy, just lazy. Healthy. I'm praying for you to wake up. She says, I need hydration and fruitfulness, gentleness, self-control is the hydration and the rest that we need. In fact, some of us are out of control because we are not properly rested. You make bad decisions when you're not properly rested. Huh? You go beyond your limits when you're not properly rested. The frustration and the anger comes out, not because of what they did, but because of something inside of you. Because you're not rested and you're not exercising self-control, which is the power to choose wisely and not impulsively. So when the anger shows up, take a breath. When the frustration shows up, go for a walk. And say, I need to exercise some self-control for a minute right here, because I cannot allow this circumstance of what you did or didn't do affect me inwardly. I have got to have some self-control. I got to have some self-control in what I consume and what I eat and what I take in. I may be experiencing some desires that are out of the boundaries of God's permission. Lord, I need self-control. I need gentleness, strength that is under control, and faithfulness. In a culture, beloved, that is unfiltered in their reaction, the Spirit teaches us restraint, resilience, and grace. So how do we change? While I was on vacation this past week, I was chatting with a friend about something that happened, you know, her and her spouse, and she kind of said something, and we kind of were chatting, and she said, you know, Rich, I don't know if people really change. Like, do we really change? Don't you think we're just born the way we are? And honestly, many of us feel that. We carry temperaments, we carry trauma, we carry habits, we carry hurts, like they are etched into our DNA. They are etched into our wiring. And honestly, after enough failures and frustrations, we stop believing that deep change is possible for ourselves and for others. We not only lose the hope for ourselves, but we lose the hope for others. But the gospel insists otherwise. Jesus says in John 15, I'm the vine. Read that with me. You are the branches. If you remain in me, you will do what? How much fruit? Little bit of fruit. Tiny bit of fruit. Spoil fruit. But we don't just bear the fruit. We also produce it. We produce it and we bear it because and when we abide in the posture of spiritual nutrition, that is to remain in the presence of God, there is a process then that will lead us to wholeness and fruitfulness. Dallas Willard, the philosopher, says that spiritual formation in Christ is the process, though, of progressively replacing destructive images and ideas with images and ideas that filled the mind of Jesus. And this is not just behavior modification. He says there is a part and parcel that you play in the spiritual fruit that comes out of your life. And that is to cut away and replace the destructive images. In John 15, Jesus calls it pruning. He prunes those trees. He prunes those bushes. He prunes them. He cuts them away so they can produce even more fruit. Because when the bad stuff grows with the good stuff, it sucks away the nutrients for the good stuff. And the Holy Spirit is trying to produce good stuff in your life, but as often as you feed the flesh with the bad stuff, it sucks that away. And Jesus says, apart from me, you could do nothing. So what do we do? Galatians 5:24, which comes after 5:22 and 23, that fruit of the Spirit, he tells you, those who belong to Christ Jesus have done what? Say, ouch. He said, you know, those who belong to Jesus, they just put the flesh out. Just go ahead and set it outside. He didn't say that. Did Dr. Drew? He said, no, he said, crucify the flesh. After something was crucified, it wasn't getting back up unless in the name of Jesus. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let me finish this up. This is beginning past tense reality. Those who have crucified the flesh, those who belong to Jesus, that those who belong to Jesus, you belong to Jesus, you have crucified the flesh, or the flesh has been crucified for you, even better. It has been crucified for you, that which you would not do for yourself. It has been done for you because of the work of Jesus. He's saying those who are in Christ Jesus, the power of the sinful nature, the flesh, has been decisively broken. Can you be made new? Yes. Are you a new creation? Yes. Is there any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? No. So this sinful nature has been decisively broken. It doesn't mean that your desires don't still creep up. Doesn't mean that they don't still knock on your door, come sit down at your table. It means that you are no longer obligated to obey them. And so he says, crucify the flesh. That means let go of what is killing you. Let it go. Belonging to Jesus means, though, we have already declared war on our old way of life. God, I got to let that go. I love Cool Ranch Doritos. I can eat an entire bag in one sitting. You too. Come on. Let's start a Dorito club. We need to just Doritos. I got to crucify the flesh. I love brownies. I can't say no to brownies, especially when they're soft and chewy. Think of this, though, like switching allegiances from one kingdom or team to the next, right? You lived under a tyrant who demanded selfishness, demanded envy, demanded rage. But now you live in a new realm. You've been rescued. And now you have a new king. But the tyrant is still shouting, come on over. It's better over here. Let loose that anger. Let loose that rage. Let loose that comparison. Let loose that self-doubt. Let it loose. Come on over here. It's really sweet. But like eliminating toxic food from our bodies, we don't just add fruit. Like, okay, I'll eat more fruit and good stuff. That way I'll just get a small bag of Doritos. Crucifying the flesh means it's not a one-time event either. It's an ongoing surrender. Let me offer one spiritual practice for you. Fasting. Everybody say fasting. We are not a congregation that is accustomed to fasting. I'm just going to say it out loud. I say fasting and y'all be like, you ain't talking to me. We do not live under that rule anymore. Fasting is the intentional withholding of food or other comforts for a spiritual purpose. Now, part of the reason I started to reject fasting after being taught how to fast was because I was taught to fast for something. You want a job? Fast. You looking for a spouse? Fast. How long? Because, I mean, I want a good spouse. I really want a good one. Is this a 40-day fast or is this a 120 fast? I need to know. We're taught to fast for something, but not for the spiritual purpose of being more like Christ. It was about what you want. What's your desire? And fasting is not punishment. It's training. And it reveals, honestly, what controls us and helps to reorient our appetites towards God. When you are fasting, whether that's from food or some other comfort, like your phone or like social media or that person you just can't get out of your mind, when you fast, it reveals what controls you and helps you reorient your appetite towards God. God, I realize this person has been taking the place of you. I realize this job has been taking the place of you. I realize my relationship with food has been taking the place of you. And if you're new to fasting, don't try to go Moses 40 days and 40 nights. Start with 40 minutes. I mean, like, just, Lord, I'm just going to start with 40 minutes right here. Come through for me, Lord, in this 40 minutes of fasting in Jesus' name. No, but seriously, start small. Start in a way in which you can build up that confidence and that relationship. Skip one meal. Go screen free for a day or have a sundown time for your phone where you don't look at it after the sun goes down or something like that. Let the hunger and the restlessness lead you to prayer and to worship and to silence. Because this fruit doesn't grow overnight and neither does our character. So he says, hey, this is past tense. If you belong to Christ, you have crucified the flesh. But then there's the present tense. Keep in step with the Spirit. Everybody say keep in step. And this keep in step is a military term, and it means to walk in line with and to follow in order, like marching formation. So Carter Wesley, you're in the Navy. Come on up here, son. You're in the Navy. You're in the Navy, and you're supposed to walk in step with the person who's in charge. I'm in charge. I just want you to know who's in charge. Amen. All right, so come on over here. You're supposed to say amen, son. Amen, amen. So it's a military term. You walk in step. Walk behind me. See, you're trying to walk beside me? My Lord Jesus, you're supposed to be walking behind me. In Jesus' name. All right, walk in step. You know what? Let me do it this way. This is really the image of what it looks like. Go ahead and stand on my feet. Stand on my feet. Yeah, go ahead and stand on my feet. Now, when he was a lot smaller, this was a lot easier to do, right? When you have your child, you got the little baby, you got a little niece, nephew, you're teaching them how to walk, right? And you teach them how to walk by raising your foot up and they step with it. And it looks awkward like this. And they looking down, but then they start smiling like, yay, daddy, I'm walking. This is what the Holy Spirit does for you. Holds you and walks. You're not standing on my feet. Soldier, seaman, midshipman, whatever it is, he's walking with you. And then you start moving. Yeah, let's groove. And you get the groove with the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Just like that. Even more so than the military term of just following me, where it feels like God is demanding. It's more like the parent that says, you know what? Just take a step with me. Just take a step with me. I know what you're struggling with. Just take a step with me. Take a step in this direction. And then they start stepping where you don't want them to step. Like, no, come on back. I ain't gone there yet. That's the Holy Spirit in your life inviting you to walk in step.
Well done.
So, beloved, where are you today? Let's finish this up. Where are you? Where are you listening daily for the Spirit's guidance? Where are you surrendering those desires, obeying those nudges, living in community with others to help you take that step? The Holy Spirit isn't just a power source or a doctrine. It is a personal presence who walks with you. And then sometimes it feels like the Spirit is walking for you. Here's some reflection questions. What have you been feeding on lately? These are just some options. Fear, comparison, distraction. What are you feeding on? And then secondly, what fruit is growing in your life right now? And where might God be inviting you to prune or to plant? If you can leave those reflection questions up there for a moment, I invite you just to take a moment with the Holy Spirit to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you revealing to me? What are you revealing to me about that upward direction in relationship? What are you revealing to me about that outward direction in relationship with others? What are you revealing to me about that inward relationship in my inner being? What is it that you reveal to me? Can we really change, beloved? The answer, I believe, is yes, but not by ourselves. Can we really change? I believe the answer is yes, because the Holy Spirit is not done with you yet. We have made mistakes. We have offended God. We have offended others. And we have done even more violence and offense to ourselves when we repeat those narratives and we indulge in those harmless, broken behaviors. But with the Holy Spirit, you can change. So, Lord, like my nutritionist, you're not here to shame me or us. You are here to heal us. The fruit that you desire for our lives is not about perfection, but about direction. Not perfection, direction. So, Holy Spirit, grow your fruit in me. Pull up what is unhealthy. Nourish me with your love, peace, and presence, so that I could be more like Jesus. In the name of the Father and the Son, we pray. Amen. I'm inviting the intercessors to come and join us up front to be available to pray with others right now as we end our service this morning. And our intercessors are here and available to pray with you for whatever is stirring inside of you. Perhaps it is something that was said in the message today. A place in your life where you do sit, there is not good fruit being produced. There is this battle and tension going on in the flesh where there's things aren't right with God, or things not right with others, or things not right in yourself. I invite you to come and receive the kind of prayer that is restoring, the kind of prayer that is affirming to you that you are the beloved child of God and that God is not done with you. That whatever it is, the tension that you're wrestling with, the presence of God can begin to ease and remove that tension by calling you into who you are. I remember one time wrestling with something and confessed to a friend, and his words back to me was, "You just forgot that you were a beloved child of God. You just forgot that you were a beloved child of God." I said, yeah, but it's like, no. You just forgot that you are a beloved child of God. When you remember that you are a beloved child of God, you'll remember that the fruit comes from God, from the Holy Spirit, and you'll make a better choice next time. How affirming it is to hear someone remind me who I am in the core of my identity. You are a beloved child of God. If that's you, you need that word of affirmation. The intercessors are here to pray with you and for you. But if you've got some other kind of struggle or strain going on, if there's a health issue that you've been struggling with, if there is discord that you're experiencing in some relationship, if there is a very real and practical need for a job, it's like, Lord, I'm waiting on you. We invite you to come receive prayer this morning. Would you all stand with us together?
The Spirit of the Lord is here. The presence of God is here.
The Lord wants to do a good work. At any point in time during this closing song, at any point in time during this moment, you are invited to come and receive prayer. Yeah, Lord. I know your Spirit is here, God. I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it, I know it. I know you're doing good work. I know you desire better and more for us than we can even desire for ourselves. I know there's a healing power that's right here. There's a reconciliation, Lord, that is right here. I know our flesh doesn't want us to even move towards you, so I rebuke the flesh that says, I don't need to move. I can just pray right here. It says, I can take care of this. I've pushed hard enough before. I've gotten through it before. I'm strong. I know I can do this. I know what step to take. I rebuke that spirit right now that wants to keep someone in their seat rather than to step and to move. I invite you to step and move with the Spirit. Spirit right now is even saying, let's put your feet on mine. I'll walk for you. I'll walk for you. I'll walk for you.